You know what? I realized I failed to ask Angela. Would you mind playing our song for this evening? All right, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. On the spot. 229 is the song that we're going to be looking at. And once each year, I like to take a Christmas song that we sing and just try to break it apart a little bit and make us think about the words that we're singing. And we have a song that is a precious song to me in terms of the aspect of, I guess the reason why it means so much to me is that when we think about celebrating what Jesus Christ has done in the past, we're singing this song, O Come, O Come. And there's an aspect with the words place us in the setting of crying out in Israel's day, waiting for the Messiah. And yet we today have the same heart cry today that it's, Lord, please come back. And just as he fulfilled the promise that he did in the past, he is going to do that very same thing for us here in our time, in our age. And so this is a great aspect. So we're going to sing through those, and we're going to have a couple stanzas. So I'm going to put the words on there. Some of them are in here. We have three stanzas. I found seven. We're going to look at five. Just because there was two of them, and I was like, well, they weren't as doctrinally rich, I think, in terms of, they were good, but didn't necessarily build off of specific verses of Scripture. And so, before I jump into this, two quick announcements. Number one, we never did announce that there's a sign-up sheet in the back for food. If you want to bring food for the dinners, we provide a little dinner, then we do a quick rehearsal, and then we're ready for that evening at 6 o'clock. So if someone would like to bring some food or some soup, that really works out well. Several are signed up already, but if we could add one or two more to that, that'd be great. It's Friday or Saturday night. If we could have that by 5 o'clock, that would be great. So just a thought in that regard. And then also, I'm looking for people, on young people, adults as well, whoever would like to, but to provide some music for next Sunday night. We do something like a Singspiration, and we'll sing songs, and we'll hear specials. So if I am looking, I'll be reaching out to those that I know play the instruments and things like that. But if you'd like to, just let me know, and we'll see what we can do to get everything involved. So that's always a fun service. Next week, just to let you know of that. So as we look at the words here to this first stanza, he says, O come, Emmanuel. So every one of these stanzas that we have here addresses Jesus Christ by a title. And this is something that I would encourage you, as you go through this aspect, to think of the titles, the message in the name of Jesus Christ, to who he is. And this comes right from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in light of that context, the Assyrians were coming. They were a powerful nation. They were going to come down in Hezekiah's day and surround them. But Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, I think it is, or he's one of their grandfather, whatever. God gives him a promise, and yet his heart is hardened to the Lord, and he would not submit to God's promise that there would be deliverance. And so God makes a sign to the house of David, that there would be a virgin who would conceive, and that his name would be Emmanuel. When we think about this name, Emmanuel, what it means is God is with us, and in the context of this, it means God is for us. Throughout the Scriptures, God would tell them, don't be afraid when you go off into battle, because I am with you. So God's presence wasn't just, oh, I'm right here while you're dying and getting defeated. No, it means my power, my might is for you. And so this is a great aspect. The incarnation itself, God taking on human flesh, means God is for you. He loves you. He wants to be united with you, and he wants to bless you. And so this is the great aspect, and this captures this story here, because in Isaiah, one of the most, Isaiah's writing from the time that he's not in captivity, but he's prophesying the captivity. And throughout chapters 40 through 66, The message is, comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfort unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that all these things that happened to her, God is finished bringing judgment, and he is going to bring restoration. And so what we have here is a cry for restoration from the God who is for us, who is with us. And he says, O ransom captive Israel. We're in exile. We're in the wilderness. We've been cast away from the promised land. And here we are mourning, and yet we will not have joy. We will not have the peace of God until we have the Son of God to appear to us. And I'll leave this with this verse. Isaiah 49 says, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. He has come. Let's sing that first stanza together.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The second stanza starts off here, and I really should turn there. I've got my own aspect just to see what you're looking at. Nope, I've got one here. We're going to look at one that's not in our hymn book. It says, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. When we look at this understanding of the rod of Jesse, this comes from an Isaiah prophecy in Isaiah 11, which says, There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. So if you're familiar with that terminology in terms of what's going on, that it's a picture of a tree that's been chopped down. And I'm sure you've had this experience, and we all have done this and whatnot. You chopped off a tree and you hope that would be the end of it, and it would die. And all of a sudden, you find out that this can send up shoots and roots, and then those aspects. And typically the tree you don't want to come back. It's that old thorn bush or whatever. It's hard to kill, and they just come up. This is the picture here. And what it's looking at is, this is the tree of David. So you can trace the line of David and his promises and Solomon all the way up to the captivity, and then a great axe came through and removed them, because God says, I am tired, quite honestly, of the disobedience, and he brings them off into captivity and he teaches them a great lesson. But God says, I'm going to bring up a shoot that's going to come out of Jesse. Interestingly, it does not say come out of David. It says, come out of Jesse. What that means is that what he's talking about here is we're talking about a second David. Just like all, and it's interesting, that's the emphasis of Bethlehem. All the kings of David's line were born in one city, Jerusalem. Only David was born in Bethlehem. And so there's aspect of going back to the place where it began. Getting things back to what God wants to restore, where the tree was, it wasn't just in name only, but it was relationship with God in the heart. And so this is really a beautiful aspect in which God can take that which is dead and he can restore life to it, even when we think it's just a dead old stump. And so this aspect of what God can do, and he looks at this, the words here describe it, it says, free us from death. Just like we are going to die, he kind of plays off this name and points to the reality of God being able to rescue us from the depths of hell, this aspect of the grave, and giving us victory. And so when he came to this earth, he destroyed him that had the power of the death over death, so that we no longer live in fear of death. And so because of Jesus Christ and the restoration of this, he's using this term, stem of Jesse, and pointing it forward to the hope of the resurrection that you and I have. Let's go ahead and sing that second stanza together. The words are on the screen.
Oh, come thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
This next we find is the second stanza in our hymn here, but he says, oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thy advent here. As we look at what is a day spring, this comes directly from Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79, when Zechariah is prophesying of the significance of his son's ministry. It's the fact that his son was going to go before the Messiah. And he describes him in verse 78 of Luke 1. He says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, the day spring is this aspect of, when we look at this understanding, is it's a star. It's that morning star that is the last bright star in the east that comes right before the dawning of the sun. And so there's this aspect of Jesus Christ is the day spring, and behind him follows the brand new age of the kingdom of God. And that's the promise. He's a down payment, you might say. And when you and I see that day spring, that morning star, we know with 100% confidence that the sun is coming. And so because of what Jesus Christ has done, when we see that day spring, especially if you've spent a long night, and sometimes thank the Lord for sleep, but there are times when you get to the place where most of the time it happens to me when I'm sick. And you're just struggling to make it through the night, and you're taking some medicine or something, and you're kind of and you're just thinking, I can't wait till the day comes. And you're waiting. That's the feeling we're in this night. And Jesus Christ is that morning star that gives us hope. When we look at Jesus, the pictures of Jesus, it's interesting, it says, there shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise, like a rising star, and shall rise out of Israel. And then he described as a light, the light of the Gentiles in Isaiah 42 and 49. The Lord in chapter 60 shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen unto thee. And so ultimately the day spring, according to the Old Testament, was the glory of the Lord himself. So when Jesus Christ came, he reveals the glory of who God is. And when God's glory comes to this earth, justice will follow, and all will be made right. Let's go ahead and sing that stanza together here, the second one in your hymn book.
Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thy coming here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night. And as dark shadows pour to fly, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
All right. Sorry, a little confusion there. The old way of putting it is thy advent here, and they've changed it to coming in our hymn book, but that's what advent means, the coming of something. So that's good. Good to be aware of that. The fourth one that we look at here is the third stanza in our hymn book, and that is the Key of David. And this is really, honestly, is not really a title for Jesus. It's actually a statement in Isaiah chapter 22, and he's talking about Eliakim. It says, God told him, I will clothe him with a robe and strengthen him with my girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. All right, does that sound a little familiar? And it talks about that aspect of the key that he will open and no man will shut, and he will shut and no man will open. Can anybody tell me what book of the Bible that's found in? Revelation, very good. Well, that's a part of the title that Jesus tells of his own people. He says, this is the one who's speaking to you, he that hath the key of David. So what does this mean, the key of David? It means that you have authority to a realm. If I've got keys to my house, that means I've got authority over my house. And I can lock the door and keep people out, and I can open the door and let people in. And what this is saying is that Jesus Christ has the right of access, and he controls the entry point. But what is he talking about? The throne of David, the kingdom of David. But it's interesting, Jesus in the book of Revelation says, I have the keys of hell and death. And in Matthew 16, he gives to us, the church, he says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And so there's aspect of what does he have right of access to? He is the one, because of his authority, that opens wide to us the very presence of God. And we can live with him for all of eternity in his kingdom and in his power. And so this is a beautiful, beautiful picture. And so this song goes on and says, open wide our heavenly home and make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. So when he shuts a door and says, nope, you're not going down that way, praise God, nobody can open it. And when he opens up a door to us, no one can shut it. Let's sing the third stanza here.
Oh, come thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and show the path that brings us nigh. Rejoice, rejoice, come to thee, O Israel.
The last one we hear is the one that I found is, O come, desire of nations. Interesting title for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, he says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory. And there's a prophecy that Jesus, the Yahweh himself, would come back to the temple that they were building. And he would in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's described as the desire of all nations. This is the person all nations are seeking after. Now we know from the scripture that they're roaring, they're raging against the Lord and His Christ, but what they don't realize, you go to the Olympics or the UN, they'll just give all these little doves, they go flying up in the air and all these things. They want peace and unity and kumbaya, and that cannot take place apart from Jesus Christ. And what they really are longing for is what only Jesus Christ can provide. He is Shiloh, the one to whom it belongs. His is the right to this earth, and it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Can you imagine that day, someday in the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ is ruling on the earth and the world is going to gather at the doorsteps of his throne because they want to serve him? There's an aspect of the promise of Jesus' reign is given to us in Isaiah 11. He says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand as an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest will be glorious. What we need as we've got so much division. People are fomenting, stirring up hate in our country and abroad. And the reality is we need the Prince of Peace. And he is our hope, the only hope of unity in this world. Let's sing that last stanza together.
Oh, come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of Peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Let's do that chorus again.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
Dear Father, we are so thankful that we have this one promise, that if you have ascended up into heaven, you have left us, you will come again and receive us to yourself. Lord, just as you came the first time, you're coming a second time. And Lord, we wait for you. We celebrate your death until you come. Lord, we remember the promise that we wait for again. And so, Father, may this time at Christmas, may our focus not be upon the things of this world, the packages under the tree, but, Lord, what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. May his titles, the key of David, the day spring from on high, the desire of the nations, Emmanuel, Lord, may these fuel our praise this holiday season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take about a